Why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't he step in and stop all evil on earth? The parables are not a direct answer to the question, but they show that God's sovereign rule over the world isn't quite such a straightforward thing as people sometimes imagine. Today on Cross Connection, we will take a fresh look at the well-known parables. Welcome to an in-depth and interactive live study of the Word of God. And I'm Oleg Kostyuk, your host. Thank you for joining me today. And thank you also for being a part of our ongoing conversation about the life and teachings of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Today, I would like to encourage you to join our growing community on Facebook and on our website. Don't forget that we are coming to you live right now, and we want to hear from you as well throughout the entire show. And Sergio, what is our overarching question today?
Well, today we're going to be covering six parables from Matthew 13. But two of them in particular caused quite a bit of discussion between Oleg and I as we prepared for our study. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. I'll read them for you both quickly. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, Oleg and I had a bit of a back and forth on this one, and we'd like to ask you what you think about it. Today's question is this. In the parables of the hidden treasure and pearl of great price, who or what is the treasure or pearl, and who or what is the man or the merchant? Put your scholar caps on and give us your interpretation.
Thanks, Sergio. I'm looking forward to the answers of our web community.
Yeah.
I would like to encourage you to follow our discussion. So pick up your Bible and follow along. And you definitely want to get a free copy of today's offer. Today we prepared a special chart for you. It's a one-page chart, just one page, and all seven parables in Matthew 13 with main theme, focus, and application extracted from them. To receive it, simply go to our website and click on the free offers tab. Don't forget about it. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't do something to finish all of the evil on this earth? That is perhaps the most frequent question that people ask Christian leaders and teachers all over the world. Tragedies happen. Horrific accidents devastate lives and families. Tyrants and bullies force their own plans on people and crush opposition. And they seem to get away with it. And sensitive souls ask again and again, why is God silent? Why doesn't he step in and stop it? The parables of Matthew chapter 13 are not a direct answer to this question, and probably no direct answer can be given in this life. But they show, through the various different stories, that God's sovereign rule over the world isn't quite such a straightforward thing as people sometimes imagine. And today, on Cross Connection, we will learn that the main theme of the parables that Jesus taught are about the kingdom of heaven, and they tell us about his mercy, his patience, the power of the kingdom, and the final judgment. Basically, in the heart of the gospel according to Matthew, in chapter 13, Jesus presents seven parables, and let me suggest that the entire grand story of redemption and the world itself is in them. And joining me today are Sergio, Jennifer, and Jitesh. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How is the weather today?
It's warm.
It's warm, yeah. It's getting warmer and warmer.
Too warm for that shirt, maybe.
Definitely too warm.
Okay. I'm excited about our study today. Last week, let me ask you a question. What did we study last week?
Basically, one parable.
Exactly. One parable from Matthew chapter 13. Mm-hmm. And today we will try to do something that is very difficult to do.
Right.
We will try to cover all six parables, the rest of the parables.
Up our production by 600%.
Exactly. So buckle up, everyone. We will be studying the Word of God. And before we open our Bibles, let us pray. Sergio?
Sure. Fathers, we turn to your Word. We ask first for the guidance of your Spirit, that we may find the truth that you wish for us to find from your Word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we are in Matthew chapter 13. And I don't want us to waste any precious second.
Let's go.
So, and I would like to encourage everyone to pick up your Bibles, because we will be studying the Word of God. And before we start studying the parables, let us read the last two verses of the segment about the parables. It's Matthew chapter 13, verses 51 and 51, just one verse, 51. Jennifer, could you read it for us, please?
Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord."
Okay, so who did Jesus talk to at the very last verses?
It was probably
the disciples, yes. Mm-hmm. So when he spoke about all the parables, he asked them, what was the question?
Do you understand?
Do you understand? And what was the response?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. So when we study the parables, is it important for us to understand the parables or not?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
We need to be getting what's intended.
Yeah. Exactly. So if Jesus asked the same question to the to his disciples, perhaps Jesus is asking the same question to us today as well.
These aren't just mind games he's playing with them.
No.
It's important that they understand.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay, let me just go back again, and let me ask you a question. What is the main theme of all of the parables? What is the most frequently used phrase in all the parables? The first line of each parable.
The kingdom of heaven is like?
The kingdom of heaven is like. Did you see it, Jitesh?
Yes, I saw. That was a big question. I got a little nervous there.
Okay, so it was the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. Uh-huh. So all the parables, all seven parables, they try to represent what the kingdom of heaven is like. Yeah. We need to remember that parables is just an allusion to divine thing. So Jesus was trying to present something that is divine, but in worldly terms. Mm-hmm. Let's dive in.
Okay.
The first parable in this section. Last week we talked about the parable of the hearers, or the sower and the hearers. Mm-hmm. And today we will start talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares. And Jennifer, if you could read Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30.
Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while the man slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
Okay, so that was the parable. Mm-hmm. What do we see in this parable? Just briefly, what is happening? There is the field. What else do we see?
A man who owns a field.
Okay, the man who, field owner.
Uh-huh.
Then we see a sower, yes?
Sowers.
Yeah.
Sowers. Then somebody else comes. Who is that somebody else?
An enemy.
An enemy
comes, and what did he do?
He sows tares.
He sows tares. Mm-hmm. And then what else do we see? Help me.
The servants want to go gather them.
Exactly. Servants, what do they want to help.
Right.
Right.
They want to help. Mm-hmm. And what is the response of the owner of the field?
They need to grow together.
They need to grow together.
No, wait till they grow together.
Exactly.
And for me, I don't. That's actually the question I was going to ask you. I don't understand why they would let it grow, and then that's the question I'm asking.
Okay, let's try to answer this question. But before we answer that question, let's just take some time and see what is on the screen right now. Do you see there is wheat and there is tares, and if you look at them, they're pretty much identical.
Wow. Mm.
Can you see it?
Yes, they look
very
so much alike.
Very similar. And that is part of your answer. So they are very similar. And when you tear, when you gather wheat, you can do what?
You gather the tares.
You can gather probably the tares, and
right.
Or vice versa. When you gather the tares, you can probably
because they look similar.
They look similar.
Yeah.
This is good. Now let us see and let us see what Jesus said. How did he respond? And how did he explain this parable? And Sergio, do you have Matthew chapter 13, verses 36 and through 43?
Okay. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear."
Okay, so we read the first part, we read just the parable. Mm-hmm. And now we read the explanation of the parable.
Yeah.
So let's try to unpack it as well.
Okay.
Who is the sower in this seed, according to Jesus himself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who is the sower?
The Son of Man.
Exactly, the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man, let me ask you?
Jesus
Christ.
Jesus. And we, in previous study, we talked about it. Moreover, there is a blog article on our website. So whoever wants to know who the Son of Man is, go to our website and you'll see it there.
Or study the Bible. It's very good. I read it. It's a good one.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God. So Jesus is the Son of Man. What is the field?
The world.
The world. It says here, the world. The field is the world. Who is... what is the good seed?
Sons of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. And what are the tares then?
Sons of the wicked one.
And who is the wicked? Who is the wicked one then?
The devil.
So who sows the tares?
The devil.
The devil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we see that there is a battle between the Son of Man mm-hmm. and the wicked one.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever has more weeds or more tares is the winner. Or no?
What do you say? Well, because all the tares are going to get burned up mm-hmm. later. So.
So the outcome of the battle is known to us.
Right. Right.
So it's up to us to decide who you want to be, or on which side you want to be.
Yeah.
But there is something amazing about this parable. Let's come back to what you said.
Thank you.
What Jitesh said. Yeah. Your question was, why?
Why do they grow together? Why do they need to grow together? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't they have just removed them in the beginning?
In the beginning. What is your answer to this question?
I can't answer because I know your answer.
Okay. So Jennifer, what do you think?
Why are they growing together?
Why didn't Jesus say, okay, the Son of Man say, you know what, let's just cut them immediately so that they don't even spread?
Well, the field is supposed to be the world, mm-hmm. and so on the world, you know, it's a stage for this great controversy. And so I think the judgment is supposed to unfold at the end. So, you know, Jesus isn't, you know, judging people now because of, you know, mm-hmm. I guess whether they're a wheat or a tare, but he's waiting, I think, until the end for the final judgment.
Is there something I could say?
Of course.
Well, I asked the question, but I had, like, an opinion in
okay, good.
My mind, and my opinion was that we have a choice. I think God wanted us to decide whether we were going to be tares or whether we were going to be wheat. Mm-hmm. That's why we need to. We'll get influenced by others around us, but ultimately we need to make the decision, and that's when He comes to devour the
beautiful. Tares. This is beautiful because if you think about it, God is merciful,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and look at this mercy. He says, "You know what? I want even the I still have great hope that even tares, they will bring forth the fruits mm-hmm. of the Spirit.
No.
Even tares will be full of grain." Mm-hmm. And he has this hope. And whenever I think about it, I just want to say, praise the Lord. There is hope.
Right.
There is hope for me.
Right.
Even for if
it's
for
like
me.
We said with the soils, your soil isn't static. You can become a good soil.
Yes.
And I think the same thing is here with the wheat and the tares. If you're a tare, you can become wheat.
But why do the wheat and the tares look alike? That's the thing that kind of threw me off.
We will talk about it right after the break. So don't go anywhere. We will continue our conversation and we will try to understand why they look alike. We are also very excited because Pastor Anthony Kent will be joining us after the break. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
Get connected with Hope Channel study guides. Go to hopetv.org/cross-connection and click on the free offers tab at the top of the webpage. Just fill out the form and we'll send you the requested materials absolutely free. These free resources will enhance your knowledge of the life of Christ. Get connected with the cross today.
Welcome back to Cross Connection. Our discussion will be joined by Pastor Anthony Kent just in 1 minute. So we talked about the tares and the wheat.
Yes.
And you raised a very profound idea that they look alike, but not only did they look alike, because the tares, they were dangerous as well. And Pastor Anthony, thanks for joining us. Could you shed some additional light on the parable of the tares and wheat?
Sure. There were high stakes involved with this.
Mm-hmm.
We know that the wheat is obviously a good food to eat, but the tares, they were actually poisonous. And commentators make the point that, in fact, consuming the tares could possibly be fatal. So this wasn't just to doing something annoying like throwing some thistles or something like that into a wheat paddock. There was a devious and sinister approach in the act of the enemy here.
Wow, it brings some additional and very, very strange light. Thank you so much, Pastor Anthony. We will come back to you in one, for additional insights and comments.
And I think it makes the waiting part that you were talking about even more profound when you think that his field is being poisoned by these things. And he's still, no, let's wait, you know, so that as many wheat can be harvested, you know.
It brings me back to the to previous chapters when we talked about I send you as sheep among
wolves.
Mm. Or I let you stay there as wheat among tares.
Mm.
Okay, let me ask you a question. What is the practical application of this parable? How could you apply this parable? Are we wheat or are we tares? Or how can we influence tares to become wheat? Or can we do it?
To me, what the most profound thing is the part that, because in a lot of ways this is describing the judgment, and, you know, but to me what's most profound is what you were saying about the waiting, and that there's something very profound implied by that waiting, about that it's an opportunity, it's a chance, you know, and that it expresses God's love and his desire for mercy for us to have as much of a chance as possible.
Good.
Yeah, it made me think a little bit about, you know, I guess the practical application is if you consider yourself righteous, you know, you shouldn't do something to discourage someone that you consider to be unrighteous because, you know, God is waiting for them to produce different fruit. And so even if they're a part of your, you know, I guess whatever your fellowship is, you know, you should let that person stay and let God continue to work in their lives.
And to add, on to that is that I'm so happy at the fact that God gives us a choice, that he's not forcing us into one decision. He's saying, you know what? I love you so much. I'm going to give you this decision. And I hope that you choose wisely. And I'm going to be there to support you and follow you along the way. Yeah.
This is great. You know, C.S. Lewis, in one of his famous sermons, he once declared that every human being, man and woman and child, you meet is someone who, if you saw them now as one day, okay, if you meet someone, let me just rephrase it, sorry. I just read the wrong line. Every human being, man and woman and child, if you met them and if you saw who they would be one day, you would either make your run away from them in horror, or you would strongly tempt to worship them. If only you knew who that person will be, you would either run away from them or start worshiping them. Because we don't know who people are. Exactly. Who can judge?
Right.
He's the only one who can judge.
Yeah.
What we can do, the only thing we can do, we can help tares to become
wheat.
Pastor Anthony, how would you understand the entire parable, and what can we learn from the parable of the wheat and tares?
Well, I think we see the beauty of God in planting such a wonderful crop, but we also see the sinister side of the evil one. Because the sinister side is the servants of the landowner, that the master, are even questioning the master. And they're questioning him, almost presuming his guilt. Didn't you sow good seed, but we've got these tares here? So in a sense, they're blaming the master, and he had nothing to do with it. The second thing that it also brings out, that the parable, is that these servants, they're inclined to do something which is totally at odds with the will of the master. Should we go and weed in this field? And the master says, for goodness sake, that's the last thing we want you to do. So it's counterintuitive. The work of the enemy leads his closest followers to question him, to doubt him, to put blame on him, and even leads to actions which are counter to the normal way that the Lord would like his followers to be as well.
Thank you so much. That is a profound thought. And taking into consideration the entire context, remember in chapter 12, we read about the rejection of Jesus. Yeah. Remember, he even talked about the unforgivable sin. You reject Jesus. And here in this parable, he says that who is the one who sows all these doubts in your head?
Right.
Of course, we can definitely say that Satan is the evil one, the wicked one. He sows the seed all over the world, but he also wants to seed and plant the seed in our mind, in our understanding.
Right.
He wants us to doubt Jesus. Thank you so much, Pastor Anthony. That was a very, very important light. Let us go further. So we've discussed one parable, and I hope we learned something from that very beautiful parable. The second parable is a short one. It's actually just two verses. And Jitesh, it's Matthew 13, 31 through 32.
31 through 32. 1 second. All right. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and nest in its branches.
Okay, so very short parable, but it's very well remembered by many, probably, our viewers as well. Let me ask you a question, a practical question. Could you give me an example of small things in this world, anywhere, that can ultimately have very large impact? Could you give me any examples?
You split one atom open and you have an incredible amount of
nuclear
power, right?
Nuclear power. Wow, okay. Small thing, atom.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
I was thinking of an idea that goes like viral on the internet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Facebook or something.
Okay.
I was kind of thinking of a stone in the lake. If you take a stone and throw it, the ripple effects become huge by the end of it.
So it'd be a big impact. This is great. Yeah. Or think about eight notes in music. Out of eight notes, you can hear symphonies.
Yeah.
Or how many letters do we have in the English alphabet?
26.
26? Yeah, 26. Last time I checked, it was 26. Maybe somebody... 26. So 26 letters. Yeah. Out of 26 letters, look at this masterpiece. Libraries. Right. Libraries and many other things.
The Word of God.
The Word of God, exactly. Praise the Lord for 26 letters. So how, and another question, how fast do you want the kingdom of heaven to be established on this earth? Or how rapid? Do you want it to be now, tomorrow, when?
Well, like you said, you know, something that's changed my view on the kingdom of heaven is what you've said throughout our studies, is that the kingdom of heaven is both now and not yet. Mm-hmm. So there's the not yet part, which is will be in the second coming and the judgment and all of that. But the now part is something that we can do right away,
you immediately.
Know, by following the constitution of his kingdom.
Exactly. So if you want the kingdom of heaven to arrive, just say, you know what, I live in the kingdom of heaven right now.
Right.
And I want to experience, I am experiencing it. Mm-hmm. I want you to experience the same. Mm-hmm. Let us look at the screen and you will see this little two seeds, two types of seeds. In the spoon, you can see mustard seeds. Look at how tiny they are.
Right. Wow.
And on the left side, you can see peas. Mm-hmm. So look how tiny mustard seed is. Mm-hmm. Okay. And out of the tiny mustard seed, sometimes you can see the trees like up to 15 feet high.
Wow. Yeah.
And even the birds can hide in those in the tree.
Yeah.
So what is so significant about the kingdom of heaven that it is like
a mustard seed?
A mustard seed.
That's the question I was just going to ask. Because if there's so many seeds, or you know, why pick the smallest? Why do you pick the smallest one to make as a analogy of the kingdom of heaven, which is such a huge thing? You know, that's the question I was going to ask you.
This is a very good question, and I think it will be excellent if you can toss it to Pastor Anthony, and then we can continue talking about it. Pastor Anthony, what do you think? Why did Jesus choose the smallest of all?
Well, it's really a description of himself and his own identity when he came as a baby. The legitimacy of his birth was doubted. He came to us born in a small, insignificant place like Bethlehem. He wasn't connected with wealthy people. He didn't have formal education. And when you compare that mustard seed in the vastness of that whole field, he was planted. And yet the tree that grew from that was a place that provided shelter and a sanctuary for the vulnerable, like birds that have nowhere to rest. That was, in essence, his ministry and the kingdom that he was offering to all.
Mm-hmm. This is beautiful. Mm-hmm. If you think about 12 disciples, I just gave the answer. It was just 12. Thank you very much. So it was just 12 disciples. And look at the impact. They were driven by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
Yeah, I think it's profound when you look at how the kingdom spread initially. Mm-hmm. It's just this little section of the world. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, 12 guys that started off taking Christ's message. And there's something about its message that draws people to it. Mm-hmm. Provide shelter for them.
Amen. And you don't have to come up with anything significant. Just plant this little tiny seed. In a little while, we will try to answer the question, in the parable of the hidden treasure and pearl of great price, who or what is the treasure, pearl, and who or what is the man or merchant? Let us know what you think, and your comment will be read here in the studio. And don't forget that we are offering online a special offer, which is a study guide. It's not even a study guide, it's a chart. It's a chart of all 7 parables, and you will be able to see focus, impact, implication, and how the parable can be understood. So definitely make sure to download this one page. And we will be back after a short break. Don't go anywhere.
Get connected with Hope Channel study guides. Go to hopetv.org/cross-connection and click on the free offers tab at the top of the webpage. Just fill out the form and we'll send you the requested materials absolutely free. These free resources will enhance your knowledge of the life of Christ. Get connected with the cross today.
When Jesus sent out his apostles, he sent them out two by two. He understood that when we work together in ministry, the impact is far greater than working alone. This week on Hope Sabbath School, we'll be studying about corporate evangelism and witness. God wants to use you to impact your world as you work together with other believers. I invite you to join us as we study on Hope Sabbath School.
Welcome back. The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself. Make sure to comment and participate in our discussion. Or if you don't participate, think about it. Think about parables. Read the Word of God. Let it light your, put your bones on fire. So let's talk about the second parable of the same, the parable of the leaven. It's just one tiny verse. And Sergio, could you read for us verse 33?
Sure. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened.
Okay, so the parable is pretty much the same. And you can see on the screen there is leaven and there is yeast. When we talk about leaven, it's a large amount. Yeast, it can be just a few drops. Mm-hmm. But then it permeates leaven and it starts growing. And if it's interesting that in this parable, when we talk about three measures were worth, they could feed about 100 people. Wow. So imagine about the amount of, Jennifer, just imagine if you cooked, or if we cooked, Sergio cooked.
I don't
cooked,
want to imagine say, something okay. so awful.
Okay, imagine cooking for 100 people in one time, at one time, yeah. at one time, it will be a lot.
Right.
So this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It wants to accept everyone. All birds, it starts from little, but it wants to accept everyone.
Yeah,
oh, that's very cool.
Okay, let's go to next parables. We need to go.
You got to get moving. Yeah.
Exactly. It's the parable of the hidden treasure and also the parable of the pearl of great price. Okay, let's read verse 44 first. And we can skip the parable of the tares explained. So, Jennifer, could you read verse 44 for us, please?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
Okay. This is a...
That was short.
That was a short parable. But in that short parable, there is a lot of things, a lot of things that we can talk about. What is the... Okay, the hidden treasure. What is the gist of the story? What is happening there?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I mean, just the story itself?
The story itself.
Man comes across a treasure.
Yes.
It's in the field.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Loves it, gets excited,
yes. Yeah.
Leaves, sells everything he has, and so that he can buy the field, which the treasure is in.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, what could the man who found the treasure have done instead of buying the field? What was another option?
I guess just taking the treasure.
He could take the treasure.
No one knew it was there.
No.
Okay, so he could take the treasure.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But in order to understand this parable, we need to go a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. And let us ask Pastor Anthony how this parable can be understood, and then we will come back, and then we will continue discussing our overarching question. Pastor Anthony, when we talk about this parable, what do you see in this parable?
Well, Oleg, I think some commentators make some valuable points about this parable. They hypothesize that the man without the land was probably working for a landowner, mm-hmm. tilling the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a typical thing in that era. A secure place was to hide something in the
yeah.
land
mm-hmm.
when it was buried. And if there was a death or something happened, or if it was forgotten or lost. So we have this man without land tilling the ground, and he finds it, and then he invests everything, his focus, his money, all his resources in this treasure. It
mm-hmm.
becomes the absolute point. So he's not a wealthy person, but his focus is on the great wealth that he's discovered.
Beautiful. If you think about it, it is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Pastor Anthony. Let us see what you think about this parable. And I know that Sergio can shed some additional light in understanding of this parable. So Sergio and Jitesh, be prepared, because here's the answer to your question.
Yes.
So what do you think about this parable, Sergio?
Me?
Yeah.
when I read it, I think that... the hidden treasure is us,
mm-hmm.
and the man who found it and gave everything he had to get the field that it was in is Christ, mm-hmm. dying for the sins of the whole earth.
This is beautiful as well.
Yeah.
There are two beautiful things. Can two beautiful things coexist?
Sure they can.
And this is beautiful about about the Word of God, because the Word of God sheds some additional light, and it can be the Holy Spirit influences not just a priest. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit doesn't influence just a commentator or just a theologian. He influences everybody. He wants you to understand the Word of God. He wants you to enjoy the Word of God. In this parable, when we read about the kingdom of heaven, mm-hmm. the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden. Mm-hmm. I think, yes.
Can I add something?
Of course.
Well, in my opinion, he was saying that the hidden treasure is us, right? Mm-hmm. But for me, when I was just my opinion, mm-hmm. when I was reading it, I thought of the hidden treasure being Jesus or being mm-hmm. Christ. Mm-hmm. Because when you find Jesus or when you have him in your life, you tend to not worry about the world. Worldly mm-hmm. things grow strangely dim. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you want to just sell everything and remember that to focus on Jesus. That's mm-hmm. the main point, and you want to start sharing it with others. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's, you know, that's just my opinion.
This is great. So we have two opinions, though. This is amazing. Let us read one of the verses, and then we can read another verse. One of the verses, which is Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. What does it say? Jennifer, chapter 16, verse 24.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
This defends it.
Okay, so this is something to talk about. Jitesh, so what Jitesh just said, if you want to see the kingdom of heaven, Jesus, mm-hmm. you want to deny yourself, right. empty yourself to yeah. follow Jesus. But there is another verse, which is from Ephesians.
Right, yeah, Ephesians. Let me jump to Ephesians 2:4.
Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:4, yes?
Yeah, let me jump to it right now.
Okay.
Because basically, when I read it, to think of Christ as hidden, mm-hmm. to think of Christ as impassive, just sitting there, and we are the ones who have to come across him. We're the ones that have to sell something in order to acquire mm-hmm. him. To me, it doesn't jibe with me.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
To me, we're the ones that are lost. Oh. Okay. We're the ones that are lost, and he is the one who paid the ultimate price.
Amen. I cannot say anything but amen.
Right.
Okay, so
Ephesians 2:4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." So what is something, if something's dead, where are they? They're in the ground. They're
just
buried
like the
underground.
Yeah. Just like the hidden treasure.
If you're dead, you're in the ground. And we were risen up with Christ. He's the one who paid that price. Mm-hmm. The blood of God's Son is the ultimate price to be paid so that we may rise up out of that ground with him.
Can I say something?
Yes, so, Jitesh.
With Sergio's point of view, but also when I was thinking of hidden,
yes.
I was implying that Jesus is hidden in our hearts, mm-hmm. meaning that even if you don't believe in Jesus, that doesn't mean that he didn't die for you. Mm. He still died for you, even if you don't know him. So that means he's hidden in our hearts. And for us to go through our lives and find him, that's when whatever's hidden inside of us becomes new and changes our lives. So that's where I was coming from with the mm-hmm. hidden part.
So when we talk about the kingdom of heaven, then it has to change our understanding, our perception yes. of the world.
Yes. Yeah.
Because in this world, we try to get everything ourselves,
exactly. yeah.
don't we?
Right. Yes.
Because
right.
even here, when we read this parable, it says, and then he bought. Mm-hmm. Bought has a very, very strong and very negative right. connotation.
Yes.
You don't have to buy Jesus' salvation, because salvation is given
yeah.
to you by grace.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
But there is an attempt to find it, to empty yourself, to reject what is your burden.
And you know, we have a couple comments on okay. Facebook I'd like to point out. Kimberly on Facebook says, "This is a very interesting question. At first, what comes to mind is that we are the man merchant and mm-hmm. are to abandon everything to obtain the kingdom or hidden treasure, pearl of great price. Mm-hmm. But I think we could also interpret it as Jesus being the man merchant who gave it all away, mm-hmm. his heavenly throne and even earthly glory to buy salvation for us."
Excellent. Let's
so
let's
kind of seen both sides.
Absolutely. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Pastor Anthony, what do you think? Help us.
I tend to see Jesus as the treasure. Mm-hmm. It's a treasure that's, I guess just that's my reading of it.
yes. So when we look at Jesus, who is the treasure, and he is the treasure, and we are not trying to say, you know what, this is the interpretation that we want to stick. No. This is a multifaceted. Look at this. Look at the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven, he didn't say just one parable, did he?
Mm-hmm. No.
How many parables just in Matthew chapter 13 did he say?
Seven.
Seven.
Yeah.
To prove just one point, this is the kingdom of heaven. It's multifaceted. It grows. It's long. It's wide. It's everything you can only imagine. It's joyful.
Yeah.
Let's read the second parable and maybe it will explain what we are talking about. The parable of the pearl of great price. And Jitesh, could you read verse 45 and verse 46?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it.
We don't have enough time to touch this parable now, but after the break, we will continue and we will start with this parable. So don't go anywhere, and don't forget to download this special edition. It's a chart of seven parables in Matthew chapter 13. See you after the break.
Find parenting a challenge? If so, you're not alone.
Well, there are three major styles of parenting: authoritarian, permissive, democratic. Authoritarian style of parenting is that kind of parenting where you either reward or punish your children. Parents who parent this way yell, scream, hit, and it's just not a very good way of parenting. It also models for children how to problem solve, and this is how they solve their conflicts.
Well, permissive parents oftentimes don't set any boundaries, and so their kids have a lot of freedom but no limits. And what happens with that is that kids have a difficult time functioning in society. So the best option probably is to be a democratic parent where you balance freedom and limits and help your children make wise choices.
Welcome back. Join us. Join our discussion. Okay. So thank you for joining us. We talked about the parable, the second parable of this section, the parable of the pearl of great price. Mm-hmm. And I would like us to see the parable on the screen. It's the parable, the pearl. Mm-hmm. What is the pearl? Could you explain me what is it? It's just where the pearl can be found.
Oh, Oyster shell.
Yeah.
And at the time of Jesus, it was very, very difficult to get one because it was on the seabed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in order to get it, they didn't have masks, they didn't have tanks, they didn't have anything. Yeah. Mm. So what they would do, they would just, you can see the pretty contemporary picture. But what they would do, they would go there and just stay without air. This is what I like the most. Stay without air underwater for about 2-3 minutes. Uh-huh. And then just take the pearl. So it was very, very, very valuable.
Yeah.
Priceless.
Yeah.
Even priceless. And this is what the kingdom of heaven is like.
Yeah.
What is the application of this parable in your life?
Well, I'll actually jump to another comment that we had on Facebook about the question we asked. Jonathan on Facebook says, I like Kimberly's idea that Christ sold all that he had to find and purchase us. We are the apple of his eye, muddy, dirty, and buried in gunk, but pearls and treasures just the same. And so I think if you look at it that way, I mean, I gain a lot of meaning from this, from this passage, because it's hard to think of ourselves as having any value because we know better. We know ourselves and we know that we're not worth much, but something's worth what you pay for it, you know? And if you look at the price that was paid for us, being the blood of Jesus Christ, then you see suddenly we have immense value, uncalculable value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool.
It is cool. If you think about it, what contemporary science, contemporary theologies, or Eastern theologies, maybe Western theologists as well. what do they encourage you to become, to feel like? What do they want you to feel like? You're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree or would you disagree?
And,
yeah. You're enlightened. You're powerful. Yeah. You can reach everything. You can reach the height you want to reach.
Mm-hmm.
Just work hard. Just do something. Step on somebody else's head or just a bit. But you will definitely get there. What is the lesson that Jesus presents? What did he do?
It's about giving everything for something precious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the other thing, I mean, it says that it's like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. So, I mean, there is more than one pearl, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's a pearl, not just, you know, one person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we definitely need to talk to Pastor Anthony as well. And Pastor Anthony, if we look at these two parables now, because now we discussed two parables of the treasure and the pearl. What is some additional, and how can we look at them to see them clearly?
Well, to me,
understand them?
Particularly in the one in the pearl parable, this wasn't just a pearl, it was a pearl of great value.
Mm-hmm.
And you explained well how difficult it was to access a pearl, particularly in the first century AD. But to find one that was without flaw, which really is emphasizing the uniqueness of Jesus. That here is one, nothing like any other pearl, so unique, so precious.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why when this person had the opportunity, invested everything in receiving that one flawless pearl.
This is beautiful. This is beautiful. If you think about it, exactly, because the process of oyster, when one little piece of sand comes into oyster or like happens to be in the oyster, it then it grows into a pearl, and it's a painful process if you think about it for oyster. But this is what happened to Jesus. But to be flawless is very, very difficult to find, because most of the time it would have some sort of imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about flawlessness, it's only Jesus who is completely flawless, and this is where we can find this hope. So there is a beauty of this parable. It's a twofold parable. Would you agree or would you disagree?
No.
Agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes, sir.
You have to agree.
I think, yeah, too.
No, it's a twofold. What is one? Jesus is the pearl. Jesus is the hidden treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to feel him. Because when we find him, we forget about everything that is behind us.
Mm-hmm.
Or that is right next to us. Right. And the second?
Yeah, the second is that
you are
that we're the pearl. And
the pearl.
And that someone came across us and paid everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is beautiful.
And one more thing.
Yes, of course.
Just at the end, I was like researching, I had spoken to you that me and my family had discussed at worship, knowing that I was going to be on the show. I got really nervous and I asked my family if they could help me out with some
point.
This is great. And we sat together for worship and we discussed Matthew chapter 13.
We would like to encourage everyone to read Matthew chapter 14 and discuss it for worship and then join us.
Yeah.
Join us on Cross Connection. So follow Jitesh.
So there's something that we ran across that I wanted to mention, and it implies to everything that we learned today.
Okay.
Was that somebody had said that maybe Jesus, like, how does he come, why does he compare his kingdom to like a small seed or to a pearl? These are very small things and they make us think a lot.
Yes.
So maybe God deliberately leaves us to find out what it means, knowing that only those things, knowing that only those things who will seek his kingdom first, we will find the answers from his word of truth. So, with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. So, one more time. He deliberately leaves us to find out what it means, knowing that only those who will seek first his kingdom will find the answers from his word of truth. So, he wants us to go and read. He wants us to go and find out, why is he talking about tares? Why is he talking about a pearl? Why is he comparing it to a mustard seed?
Mm-hmm.
How can that be compared to Jesus? We need to find out. We need to read the Bible and find out how this implies to us.
Mm-hmm.
This is beautiful. But at the same time, he does this immense work. He decides to come down. Because there is no other religion where you can see God descending in order to save the creature, the creation.
Right.
It's Christianity that gives you this freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom because you will know Jesus and the truth will make you free. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And like you were saying with the pearl, we have a text message that's talking about that. It's how you were saying, to obtain a pearl, it takes a lot of pressure and time.
Mm-hmm.
The parable to me indicates that the kingdom of heaven won't come without its trials, but it will be worth it in the end.
Amen.
Amen.
What can I say? Just amen.
Awesome.
We have just a little time, but let's go to the parable of the dragnet. And Jennifer, would you please read for us verse 47 through verse 50?
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So will it be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So what is this parable about, if you look at it closely? First, we read about Jesus was first parable about hearers, second parable about Jesus, he's patient, he's waiting.
Yeah.
Then we read about the small things grows into a big thing. Then we read about the hidden treasure, which is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus Christ is hidden treasure, and we are his hidden treasure as well. So it's a twofold parable. And in this parable, what do we see?
This one is just like the wheat and the tares. I mean, this is a judgment parable.
Judgment parable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the judgment will ultimately come.
Yeah.
No matter how you think about it.
I think what's interesting, too, is that for our study, the six that we're doing, you start off with a judgment parable, and then it ends with a judgment parable. And what's interesting is only those two are explained by him. You know, like it says, so it will be at the end of the age, you know, those both of them are explained. And the other ones, it's kind of left for you to kind of dig into the kingdom and see what it is and wrap your mind about it. But these two things, you want to be perfectly clear that at some point there's going to be a judgment. But until then, we have these other ones aren't explained, probably purposefully so. So for us to wrap our brains around what the kingdom of heaven really is.
This is great. And praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Praise
the Lord for that. Amen.
We have only 2.5 minutes left. And I'm just, I really want to know what Pastor Anthony learned from our discussion today.
What did we teach you?
No. We also want to know. We want to know what you have to say about our discussion.
Well, first of all, I think I learned a great deal from the discussion. I've been blessed as a result of the study of this passage as well. But I think one of the important things is the summary that comes at the end of Matthew 13, where Jesus goes back to his hometown, and in a sense there, for his hometown people, he tragically only has an earthly identity. They only see him as the mustard seed. They only see him as the yeast before it moves through the whole dough. Mm. Instead of seeing him as the pearl, instead of seeing him as the treasure, in a sense, the treasure was buried in their own hometown and they missed it. And that's tragic. In a sense, the pearl was in a family, and Jesus alludes to the fact that even some in his own family didn't recognize it. So there's a plea there to recognize the importance of Jesus and his kingdom in the here and now, because there is a judgment that's coming.
This is great.
That was awesome.
Praise the Lord. Look at this chapter 12. It's about rejection of Jesus. Then at the end of chapter 13, it's also rejection of Jesus. Yeah. But in between, there is seven parables. And if you hear and understand, and if you say, yes, Lord, I did understand, then we are in his kingdom. And trust me, the kingdom comes from heaven. So in just 10 seconds, what did you learn, Jennifer and then Jitesh?
I mean, I guess the thing that really stuck out is how much Jesus wants to save us and how he's willing to do anything that it takes, you know, to pay any price in order to save us.
That's good. Jitesh?
The Bible says, and the greatest of these is love. And I see love in everything that we're reading, that God really loves us. He loves us and he wants to give up everything to make sure that we follow him.
Yeah.
Surgery in 5 seconds.
Just being blessed by the discussion that we've had is seeing the parables have meaning, but unearthing the meaning in them has meaning in of itself as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Anthony, thank you for joining us tonight, today. Sergio, thanks for joining us. Jennifer, thanks for joining us. Jitesh. And thanks to everyone who was a part of our discussion. Don't go anywhere, because we have a very short conclusion prepared for you today.
Get connected with Hope Channel study guides. Go to hopetv.org/cross-connection and click on the free offers tab at the top of the webpage. Just fill out the form and we'll send you the requested materials absolutely free. These free resources will enhance your knowledge of the life of Christ. Get connected with the cross today. Thank you.
let me tell you a parable. I once read the story about a caterpillar named Stripey. He became bored with just crawling around the field. One day, when he was looking off into the distance, he saw a pillar of caterpillars climbing into the sky. He thought, maybe that's what caterpillars are supposed to do, climb caterpillars' pillars. He got on the caterpillar pillar and started to climb up. The only way to do that was to step on other caterpillars' heads. So he kept pushing himself up. On his way up, he stepped on the head of a little yellow caterpillar that was very pretty. He said to her, maybe it would be better not to climb this caterpillar pillar, but to go back to the field and just live happily together. The two of them worked their way down the caterpillar pillar into the field. After a while, Stripey said, I'm going to go back and climb up the pillar and see what's up there. And the pretty caterpillar said, I can't go back. So Stripey left her. Lonely, the pretty yellow caterpillar was crawling around a field when she saw a caterpillar spinning a cocoon. She asked, why are you doing that? The caterpillar said, because I'm going to die. She said, why do you want to die? Because if I die, I will be born again as a butterfly, he replied. She thought about that for a long time, and finally she decided that she'd be willing to die as well and be born as a butterfly. She realized that if she did that, she wouldn't have to climb the caterpillar pillar. She could fly over the top and look down to see what was up there. She spun a cocoon and died and became born as a butterfly. She flew over to the caterpillar pillar and found Stripey very close to the top of the pillar. But a caterpillar underneath him would push him off, making him fall all the way to the bottom of the pillar and die. But before that happened to Stripey, she, that beautiful caterpillar, saved him because she was a butterfly. Later on, Stripey spun a cocoon and became a butterfly too. What does that story say? It says that if you are willing to spiritually die, you can be born again as a Christian. That is the message of the parables. If you accept what Jesus did for you, if you accept his sacrifice and listen to him, you are part of his kingdom now. The kingdom is precious, it's hidden, it's personally appropriated, it's joyous and entered from a different circumstances. But always the price is to abandon oneself to receive the supreme sovereignty of Jesus Christ, who left all that he had but to save you. Until next week, get connected with Jesus in your everyday life and on Cross Connection.